The purpose of a small business is to generate profit. But I find that we have more and more clients coming to us using words like impact, purpose, legacy, fulfillment. This is an impactful business. I mean, you are leaving a legacy and making a true impact on your community. I could see it being totally rewarding, and I'm sure your franchisees talk about that. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Pursuit of Profit podcast. Today's guest is Justin Gordon, CEO of AmRamp Accessibility. For all those out there who are highly aware of the growing demand in the aging baby boomer space, 75% of these people would prefer to continue to age in place for comfort and familiarity for obvious reasons. And this is a brand that is making modifications to homes and businesses that allow people to get around the home if they're in wheelchairs or scooters. So it's all about accessibility. Very interesting model for those who like targeting the senior space, but are uncomfortable with the complexities of senior care. There's so many different ways of targeting this this demographic. This is another interesting concept, Cliff.
Yeah, I completely agree. I like him too. I think his heart's in the right place. When I was an investment banker, we always used to say, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think that Justin Gordon kind of epitomizes that. He really has built a culture which is just centered on caring for the elderly and making sure they can age in place safely, making sure the work is done properly. I'm also impressed with his revenue numbers. I'm impressed with the size of the territory that he gives his folks. I also like that they're a manufacturer, like that episode we did with the facial brand, right? They're manufacturing one of their core products where the lion's share of their revenue is coming from. So I like that they're controlling manufacturing, distribution channel. I like that about the brand. I think this is, look, this fits into our five themes, right? This is the silver tsunami theme. You don't have to just care for the elderly by being in the home care business. This is another way to capitalize off of that, to your point. So I hope listeners enjoy the show.
You know, it's interesting. You shared some of your experiences recently dealing with this with your own family members. And I think that will be a thing. I think people who get into this space will have had some experience with this. They understand the needs that they had, how these types of businesses help them and their aging family members. Such a rewarding business. We talked about how many people investing in franchise nowadays aren't just doing it for the money. They want to make an impact on their community. They want to do something that they feel good about. And this is absolutely one of those businesses.
Yeah. So it's a legacy play.
Absolutely.
Enjoy the show.
Enjoy, everyone.
All opinions expressed by Cliff, Justin, and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Phrenosity and Pursuit of Profit. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions.
So 5.5 million people in the U.S. are currently using wheelchairs. Nearly 2 million are using either a wheelchair or a scooter as their primary mobility aid. I would have to think that demand for accessibility is skyrocketing because of this, and it's not going to slow anytime soon. Go ahead and tell us about AmRamp and what you guys are doing to provide a solution to this growing demand for accessibility.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. That's an awesome question. So exactly what we do, we're trying to help people. That's what we do. So quick thing about AmRamp. So AmRamp was actually founded by my father, and I've been with the company for 11 years, and he was the heart and soul, the original founder, entrepreneur. He wanted to build a business around helping people, especially in the accessibility space. And he saw this need in the 90s to help make homes accessible, to make buildings and businesses accessible. So one of the original people that he actually helped was Christopher Reeve. He would follow him around the country on a speaking tour after Christopher Reeve had his accident to allow him to get access to the stage.
Wow. He was literally building ramps as Christopher Reeve is landing and going to speaking engagements.
Wow. Yeah. So that was in there temporary. So the system, he's an iron worker. So he was a welder, and he was originally in a, sort of an adjacent industry making security grates and other kind of welded steel products. And he needed to find a way to survive. The business wasn't going well. The interest, you know, in the 90s, there was a big issue with construction and interest rates and stuff like that. So he found this amazing need. And that was his first flash of genius. And this was creating the original modular ramp product that we still install today. And the second flash of genius was franchising. So he wanted to find like-minded folks around the country who would join the cause to help folks. Just like you said, that's, you know, there's a need around the country as well as in Canada. You know, we have three franchise owners in Canada as well. So yeah, that's what we do. So biggest thing is certainly you mentioned helping folks in wheelchairs, but it's even more than that. It's folks who want to stay in the homes that they love now. So aging in place is kind of what you might hear, or healing at home, depending upon the way you look at it. These are folks that don't want to go to a nursing home. They're struggling with their stairs, and it's just a barrier that we want to help them overcome.
It is a huge market with the aging population.
Yeah.
There are five. So Justin, there are five categories that we tend to focus on, right? Anything evolving tools, what we call the silver tsunami, right? The aging graying of America. So you fit right into like really our top two, top three in our five trends. So we believe that there's really, I think you may have one of the longest runways in terms of, you know, no AI risk, no Amazon risk. Yes, you could buy some of these things on Amazon, but you're doing custom work. It's like, you know, sometimes you need to create a zigzag. Sometimes you need to create, you know, stages of ramps. And even if you could order grab bars on Amazon, someone needs to do the installation and do it right. Man, that thing better go into a stud, because I've seen people rip those grab bars right out of the shower because they weren't even put in properly. They were using regular wall anchors, right? Just into sheetrock behind the tile. So yeah,
that's critical.
I agree. So your father creates the company, which is great. Where does AmRam come, like, where does it come from? Is this so obvious I should know this?
It was originally American Ramp Systems, and he followed the model, I think, around the same time FedEx actually went to, you know, from Federal Express to FedEx. And so that was kind of, it was a probably that similar thing. It was American, it's in our name for sure. And it also helped differentiate us. There's a lot of American companies, you know, there's actually a company called American Ramp, and they did skateboard park ramps. And so we would get leads for skateboard park ramps, and it wasn't for us, you know, so we just wanted to differentiate us.
Interesting. Okay. Very cool.
Justin, you told a story before your dad started franchising. He met with a class action or a litigation attorney who was in the business of suing franchisors to learn about where franchisors go wrong.
Yeah, he did.
True engineer.
It's engineering.
Yeah. That's the guy who he was, and that founded our original core values.
Did he share with you what the biggest mistakes were?
The lessons, it kind of became lore in a way, but what he walked away from was, on the positive side, what can he do differently? And kind of what he always said was, you just got to make sure your franchisees are happy, that they're making money, and that you do what you say you're going to do.
Build a plan with the end in mind, right? It's like, listen, how do you get in trouble in this business? Let's call litigation attorneys. What are you suing for? Oh, illegal earnings claims, fraud, right? Misrepresentations, no support. All right, sounds like we need to not make illegal earnings claims, and we need to support our franchisees, make sure they're profitable.
It's franchisors not fulfilling promises.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge one. And that, in a way, he treated everybody, and we do this too, as like their partners in our business. We're only successful when they're successful. So when things aren't going well, we feel the pain just as much as them. I know on an individual basis, they feel it a magnitude higher. We're kind of there we have a lot of franchisees to support, but it's critical that we treat their needs almost above ours in some ways.
You have heard from so many exciting franchise brands in a podcast, and you may be sitting there thinking about which ones could be the best fit for you. If this is the case, give us a call. We provide a free consulting service to prospective small business owners like yourself, and we will help you take a disciplined approach to determining which brands could be the best fit for you. Call or text us at 561-277-3710, or visit www.franosity.com. That's www.franosity.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Justin, go through some of these services. If I had 100 people and I said the elder care industry, franchising elder care, I'll bet you 99 of them go straight to home care. And we love explaining to people that home care is not the only category of elder, you know, the senior industry. There is mobility, accessibility, right? You have a remarkable list of products and services that you provide. Can you go through some of them? Because none of them include dispatching a LPN, a CNA, a caregiver, you know, to someone's house to care for an elderly person.
What's funny, Cliff, is that they learn about senior care because they think that that's the way of capitalizing off of the aging baby boomers sector. Then they learn that it's kind of a complex model, a lot of labor required. So they're like, all right, let's go look at home services. This is a model that's home services targeting the baby boomers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Go ahead and walk us through the revenue opportunities.
Yeah, great. So almost every job we complete is done in less than a day. The repeat customer side of things is more on the referral network that we build by just servicing folks. Either you're going to say, hey, where can I get a ramp from somebody or a stairlift or another product? You want to make sure that like Centers for Independent Living, those folks, we're there to help them, basically help families that go to them as a resource at home. But on the day-to-day basis, we're installing a couple homes, stairlifts, ramps, and it's two guys in a truck. They can fill up for the day and hit a large geography. You know, within 2-hour driving radius is a pretty good opportunity. It's construction and it's all bolt together stuff. It's ready-made parts, it's modular equipment. Even the stairlifts are, you may have to cut a railing to fit it to the staircase. So Modular pre-manufactured stuff. And I'd say it's more impactful. I have versus the home care. Home care, there's this really beautiful moments where, you know, I had to deal with this with my father when you're helping somebody through a really difficult day, you know, helping your mom or dad. It's instant relief that you're bringing to somebody, you know, on a one-time basis. It's, they may not have been able to get out of their home or go up their stairs for weeks or months. And then you come in their home, you spend a few hours, you build something, and by the end of the day or within a few hours, they have access to their home again. And the way I look at it is we collect a hug and a check the same right. day because of that impact. And so you get Google reviews, there's customer testimonials. It's not above profits. It's really making a difference that, you know, we follow the EOS model, how we run our business, and we have our core purpose, our why is helping families find their independence again. And that's, you know, what gets us out of bed in the morning. So below the surface, it's hugely impactful, and it's not that hard to build. Staffing is the biggest thing. I have a lot of respect for folks that go into the home care industry. I remember dealing with my father, and they have people call out, and it's a very necessary, and I'm sure there's lots of margin there as well.
The purpose of a small business is to generate profit, but I find that we have more and more clients coming to us using words like impact, purpose, legacy, fulfillment. This is an impactful business. I mean, you are leaving a legacy and making a true impact on your community. I could see it being totally rewarding, and I'm sure your franchisees talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, this is a big deal. I was telling them when you were off camera that my father-in-law had a stroke and has left side paralysis, and what we had to do to prepare the house for him to come home from rehab was just remarkable. Every shower you step in, and every one of us on the call either has a tub or you have a shower that you have to step in, and maybe the step in is 3 to 4 inches, right? Just to retain the water. We needed to create a roll in. We had to lift the floor of the shower so he could roll in the shower. So all these devices and all this work and all the grab bars and removing doors and making it ADA accessible. Is it the width of the wheelchair? How old is the house? When was it built? There is so much that went into this in order to get him home. I want to go through some of these products. I think they're great. I want the audience to know exactly what AmRamp is doing. Residential ramps. I love that you're doing both residential and commercial ramps, which is great for these facilities. Event and temporary ramps. You mentioned Christopher Reeve. That was all event and temporary ramp based. Modular ramps, threshold ramps, portable ramps, stair lifts, which are huge. Most homes are old, are colonials. And these folks, as you said, don't have access to the second floor of their own house. Their largest investment, they raise their children. They can't even go up in their old bedroom. It's crazy. Pool lifts is huge. You don't realize how many people want to get in the pool. You can't get in it or out of it without that lift. And not just anyone will offer it. I'm amazed. Even assisted living facilities don't always have these lifts. Vertical platform lifts, that's pretty cool to get up to like the second floor balcony or something. Grab bars and handrails, the bathing transfer solutions, which I love, that little device that slides them back and forth between the toilet and the tub, portable showers, and then automatic door openers, which I learned from your website and started looking it up because I have him in an assisted living facility. And I'm like, how cool would it be to walk up to his door, push a button, and it automatically opens? Or the handicap button. I never even thought that this could be in a residential application. Very cool. This is a really nice. I want to know what else I'm missing. And I also want to know, where's the money in your business? Where, you know, as a percentage of revenue, what are like the top three revenue streams, right, for your company?
First, I'm sorry for what your family went through. It's a, you know, I went through that with my dad, and just, you, it's amazing how many folks you meet that this is just a regular, it's a part of life. It's the worst part of life in some ways, seeing the family members that you love going through this. And I'm sorry. And it sounds like you did an amazing job. Just want to recognize that. Yeah, those products, you covered them all. That's really what we find that the most impact we can make is finding ways to say yes to customers' needs. And I would say that every product you listed is what we provide. The differentiator, I think, is the way we deliver it is with compassion. And we're not there. We're there to make a profit for sure. But that comes second to making sure the outcome of the customer. And it, the way I look at a life is if you do those things, it'll fall into place, right? If you keep your nose down, you work really hard at making sure that the customers, you're a trustworthy, basically consultant advisor for them, the profits will come. And specifically, the ramps and the stairlifts are the biggest items, I think, in terms of dollar-wise and also profit-wise. However, we're finding that even small things like grab bars, if you can do it, that's more of a volume-based item or something you would add into a project. We're realizing now that we have a really trusted reputation, which we need to maintain. And so people hopefully will come to us for even those smaller items, and we need to maintain that excellent service. Smaller items like being grab bars or other things, because you started the call by mentioning, you know, it's not easy to install grab bars in certain areas or certain surfaces, but we need to make sure that you're doing it right. So we're getting more into that side, I would say.
What's proprietary that you control and actually manufacture locally?
So what's proprietary is our modular ramp system. So that black ramp that you see on our homepage.
Okay.
So the open mesh steel product. We manufacture in our headquarters in Randolph, Massachusetts. That's also where the franchisor is based. So the original company that my father started, Gordon Industries, is the one that manufactures the ramps. We have about 30 folks in our factory that are just so dedicated. And we do a monthly employee town hall where we talk about, we read a customer testimonial, like those Google reviews. We read one of those aloud, and I tell everybody, no matter what you do at our company, you are making this happen. So the welders and the guys that are doing the powder coating, they know that they're making grandma's ramp, basically, if that makes sense to you guys. So super bought into quality, and that impact is well beyond just the frontline franchise owners.
So Justin, some of these ramps are being sold, but some are installed temporarily. So you're renting them, which means that there's a recurring revenue aspect to this model.
Yep. And that happens in several different ways. So the rentals are great for short-term situations. So if someone's coming home from a rehab and we're not really sure what's going to happen next, it makes sense to rent. It's also helping folks with the economics of it. So often folks will do like a rent-to-own in a way. So we provide every customer with a price to buy it outright and a price to rent it monthly. What we tell them is, if you don't know, start renting, and we'll convert 75% of the rentals towards that purchase price at any point. Wow. That way they'll get stuck. And so they kind of look at the economics, and oftentimes folks that are a little bit strapped on cash, they'll rent it for a little while. And then we do the right thing. So after a while, we'll say, hey, you know what? You actually have pretty much bought this out anyway, so we'll just convert it to purchase.
Talk to me about, see, when the guys are in the factory and they're doing the welding, they need very specific dimensions. So talk to us about this assessment. If you came to our home, or the franchisee is coming to my home, talk to us about the assessment and how that translates back to the factory and how all that comes together. And I also want to understand average ticket.
Yeah, great question. So all the parts, and we're really emphasizing this more, it's modular pre-manufactured stuff. So it's part of the training, and we have some evaluation apps that folks can use when they're in the field. And what the evaluator is doing when they're visiting the customer's home is they are
they're trying to figure out the configuration of these pre-made parts.
I like so that.
And they have adjustable legs, and there's turn platforms. And so the goal is to have the most gradual slope from the starting point of the door all the way down to wherever they need to be. And you just kind of make up the ramp and the, you know, follow the ADA as a guideline, 1 foot of ramp for every inch of height. And so that's kind of, so obviously the bigger the height difference and, you know, the more ramp you need. And that's kind of where historically there's a group of folks that can't afford our products. 2 years ago, I founded a nonprofit called AmRamp Cares. What that allows us to do is provide ramps for people that can't afford them. And we've been, you know, we have a CEO that runs it. If you check out our website, amrampcares.org, you can see a couple of stories. We're still building this thing. We installed a ramp for a little girl in Kentucky, and we Disneyfied her ramp. We decorated the whole thing like the movie Frozen, her and her sister. Really liked that movie. And so it was just kind of a cool thing. That was my dream, is to make, I have kids, and I just want to make sure that it was cool for them, if that makes sense.
That's great.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's good. I like it. You know, everyone, it's interesting, you know, because when you think of these businesses, everyone immediately goes to the aging population. That, unfortunately, when it comes to disability, whether you're ambulatory or non-ambulatory, you could have mobility issues at any age. It doesn't matter. And you're seeing it with our youth. You see it with our veterans. You see it with elderly. And you're seeing it post-COVID with all these weird issues that people have, where it has affected them. Strokes are so common and a huge cause. And now you're seeing even younger people having strokes, which is just crazy. So this is not just like an aging population play. It's for anyone who has mobility issues or just needs a little bit of assistance or doesn't want to slip and fall in the shower. It's the sum of all these issues with people. It's very interesting.
Absolutely. And what you said is perfect. As you call it, the silver tsunami, this is certainly where a lot of the growth will come from, but we certainly want to be able to serve everybody.
I was told that the average ticket of a stair lift was approximately $5,000. Is that accurate?
Plus or minus, maybe a little less, but it seems within that ballpark.
Is this a common item in, you know, colonial homes wanting to get to that second floor? Is this a common purchase?
Yeah, absolutely. And we realize now, we started as a ramp company. That's where, you know, where we our origins. In some ways, it seems like the stairlift comes a little bit earlier in the customer's journey. Stairlifts are for folks who are struggling to walk, but they can still walk, right? They can get over to the stairlift to get up their stairs. At the same time, ramps can also be there for folks to hold on to the railings. They can still walk up the ramp. It's just a more gradual way to get in the home.
Mm-hmm. I want to get into cost of goods, Justin. I want to stay in the financials so I can wrap my head around, if you don't mind. Talk to us. I mean, it's interesting because last week we did an episode with a manufacturer of facial products, and they were passing along these deep discounts because they were manufacturing the product. Most franchisors don't make anything. They have an idea and they buy it from a third party and so on. Talk to us a little bit about like and how deeply you could go into margins, cost of goods, maybe cost of labor. How far can you take us and understanding the profitability of being an AmRamp franchisee?
Yeah, on the franchisee side. Okay, so that core product that we make, say we'll stick with the modular ramps, franchisees can buy it at 50% of list price.
So half of the 150 a foot?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And then typically installation labor, we find around 15% of the charge to the customer is around 15% of the total project cost. Okay. And it depends on the city, right? So in New England here, where there's a little bit of a higher cost of living, the labor rates are probably higher. $175 an hour is pretty much with the labor. That's for two guys, truck, tools, and insurance. Of that, you say you're paying your guys $25 to $30 an hour. So maybe you're about $50. $60 in labor, gas, insurance, vehicles. So there's some margin there for the franchisee. And it's important that they make margin on labor because they may have some downtime, right? So you want to make sure that you're able to cover labor costs for 40 hours, right? As you get busier in the summertime, especially, that's when you actually have to have overtime. It's a good problem to have, but you have a lot of work to do. Usually people want to get out of their home in the nicer weather. So on the franchisor side or the royalty side of the business, the ramp royalties are 12% at the highest tier. And that covers all the backroom support that we could provide to the franchisee. So we do all their marketing support, IT. There's an operations director that works with them. We provide all the drawings for the ramps. And there's a call center that answers the phone and takes leads. And there's also a head of sales that's going out to help them source leads. And so we have a full suite of everything they need to do to run their business from the back office. That's where that comes from. And we actually tier that in over 4 years when they first join us. So year one is 3%, year two is 6%, and then goes to 9%, and then finally 12%. We're not changing their level of support, but we just want to make sure that when they're building their business from the very beginning, that we're taking the investment on our end. All the other products are 6% maximum. I think there's maybe commercial ramps, I believe, are at 9%. But like StairList, for example, we have maximum 6% royalty.
Okay. So you created a royalty schedule based upon the products that are being sold. If it's manufactured by you, a different rate. If it's something that you're purchasing from a vendor, a lower rate. Understand. Can you talk to us about the item 19?
So the tricky thing, we've had to redo this, and we used to show profit. I know that's what you guys are all about here. The thing is, it's so hard to do that because some franchise owners take a distribution. They don't take a salary. Some pay themselves a salary. So we really struggled for years to figure out, can we do this on a uniform basis? And it's really hard to do that. So we only report revenue. And so we have franchisees, which is really exciting. It seems like every year we have another franchise owner that's going over $1 million in revenue. And we celebrate that. We have an annual meeting and we recognize them for different sales rewards. And this year we have another franchisee. So we say about a third of our franchise owners, maybe a little more, are in the million plus category. We have a few that are in the 2 million and in the 3 million as well.
Nice.
That's on the top. On the top line.
Justin, it looks like, correct me if I'm wrong, I've seen your item 19 and it looks like it's broken down by territory. So you're showing top line gross revenue for each territory, which I like, Cliff, because there's so many franchisors out there that talk about AUV, average unit volume, but you don't know how many territories these franchisees own. So he's actually showing revenue per territory. I believe a territory is 1 million population.
Yeah, it's very generous.
And then he shows, like, if franchisee A may own multiple territories, they'll show which territories are owned by franchisee A, which territories are owned by franchisee B.
Okay.
So it's pretty cool. We don't have net margins, but we do have gross. And I like that they break it down per territory. I wish more franchisors did that.
I appreciate it. And that took a long time to figure out what's the right model because of the issues that I shared.
Agree with you on the net. Yeah. Net is highly subjective.
That's tough.
Justin, we have had prospective buyers call franchisees of dozens of brands. Franchisee answers the phone, are you profitable? No. You've been doing this how long? 3 years. You're not making any money? I didn't even take a salary this year. Meanwhile, we know that guy took over 100 grand in distributions from that company, but he's telling the prospective buyer that I don't even get a paycheck.
Right. Or vice versa, meaning he's saying that he's not making... Zero cash flow is hitting the bottom line. But meanwhile, he's taking a six-figure salary. His wife has a six-figure salary. Yeah. His daughter's on the payroll.
Yeah, right.
Listen, benefits of being a business owner.
Cars are going through there. The direct shareholder value was there, but they answer the phone like, no, you asked me a question. Right. We don't take a salary.
The more specific question that someone should be asking if they're validating is, what is your owner benefit? How much have you benefited from this business? Add back in the personal expenses, add back in the car, the gasoline, the cell phones, the laptops, and all the other crap, the vacations, whatever else you're putting through the business. True owner benefit.
One of my focuses has been, since we've been franchising since 2002, is helping with refills. That I identified that as a strength, but it was a weakness. It was making sure that we help folks who want to exit their business and have the next owner ready to go. And net owner benefit was a thing I learned is the key thing that you're looking at.
Your population territory, you're doing 1 million population for a 2-hour drive time radius, right? This is a standard single unit territory, 1 million population with a 2-hour drive time.
That's the minimum. I'd say there's a lot of territories that are bigger than that. And we sell them the smallest, technically the smallest unit is the county level. So for example, like Los Angeles County. So some have larger, and we'll discount that, by the way. So when it's, you know, when we're selling the actual franchise, we'll say, you know, what is fair to you, knowing that you need to own at least a county, or just the way we break it up. But that is sort of the minimum size is 1 million population.
Interesting. So I want to get into how you're identifying customers, right? What are the marketing efforts? Is it trade shows, banging on seniors, something, attorneys? Is it, you know, is it kind of a B2B, B2C? We have salespeople on the street, or no, everything we do is, you know, print and social media, et cetera. How are you acquiring customers?
Yeah, great question. There's two avenues that seem to work. One is certainly Google pay-per-click and sort of the SEO internet and that kind of stuff. Second one is having referral sources. So, and those are your better leads. So Google is necessary, although it may change with AI and other things, but having, so internet leads are critical.
Justin, are you handling that for them, or are they doing it?
On the pay-per-click stuff, we work with a company that we pay the administrative costs of administering, of basically running the program, and then the franchisees pay their direct bid pricing to Google. That makes sense.
Okay.
And we just relaunched our website in December. So it's, you know, SEO is really critical, and we're monitoring that and trying to optimize that. And that's an ongoing effort. So that's, you have to do that to kind of have a sustainable business and, you know, just the way that people work. The best type of lead is comes from our referral network. And that's, kind of mentioned that earlier. It's when thinking about what happens in the customer's journey is, you know, the typical, say, use case is the eldest daughter, and she visits mom or dad and says, wow, you know, mom is really struggling with stairs today and I need to solve this. What she'll do is typically go on the internet or go somewhere where you ask, how can I get a ramp or how can I get a stair lift for mom or dad? And that might be the Center for Independent Living. That might be an agency that's some kind of organization that you would think of going to. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, can you give me some advice on what to do here? So we want to make sure that those folks have brochures and are ready to recommend us. And that becomes a much higher close rate of a sale because it's a trusted person that's given our name. And we always deliver results for those folks, no matter who it is, but they'll say, you know, Amarin will lay you down. And that's the best type of lead. And that's where the franchisee needs to spend their time in their local market, almost in a way becoming the mayor of their area with respect to letting those folks know that, hey, we're here to help. Amaranth is here if you need. So that's rehab centers, anywhere on the rent. Maybe we talk about rent rentals. Someone needs to come home from the hospital. Let's make sure that the discharge planner on the way out has a brochure. Say, hey, call Amaranth.
Yeah, I could see. Healthcare workers, yep. Elder attorneys, general contractors. That's like, I don't do it. I need to hire a guy that understands 1 foot per inch, right? There's rules here when it comes to this stuff. That, you know, maybe just not anyone knows, a handyman knows how to do it and do it right before you hurt someone. Me and Justin would put him on a 45 degree angle. It would be like going sleigh riding.
Listen,
in a wheelchair.
Justin, so it sounds like you have W-2 installers. Are your installers trained to install anything, or are you having to outsource some of this?
So the installers, there's the nice thing about the business is it's totally scalable. It's a home-based business. There's no showroom required. When a franchisee is starting out, they can have 1099 subcontractors. And what we actually found during our annual meeting is that a lot of franchisees use firefighters as their flex staff because these incredible folks are working 40 hours in a row, and then they have a bunch of extra time during the week, and they love helping people. And so they'll work on a prearranged agreement that how much per foot or how much per product will they install it. And then the franchisee can then multiply that out to make some margin. And then what happens is once you have a lot of business, it just makes sense financially to have full-time employees. And so that's really where there's that evolution of scaling. And it really is across the board. It's probably the mix of subcontractors. But yeah, they're fully trained. That's on that part. The franchisee goes through a week-long training program with us. We have installation instructions. And so we kind of do a train-the-trainer model with the installers on the ramps. On the other products, we work with all the major vendors of stair lifts and other lifts, and they will send their installers out to get factory training for those products.
Interesting. I want to go back to the customer acquisition for a minute. So once you get the customer, is this a one and done transaction, or do you find that the relationship's a bit sticky and we get a call invariably within 3 months, they need grab bars, they need more, they realize aging in place is not just a ramp at the front door. What's the average life of a customer? What's the average spend of a customer? What goes on there?
Currently, it seems like it's one and done on the sort of residential side. we're looking to change that, where the Ramps is kind of in the later stage of their journey, unfortunately. So that's something, that's a move we're making in the next year, is to try to find ways to get there earlier.
Yeah, that's what Toyota did, right? You look at like Scion and Toyota and Lexus. It's like, we now control the driver from the crib to the grave, right? So you're a young kid, just started to drive, buy a Scion, stay in the family, get a Toyota, upgrade to a nicer car, doing well, you're 30, grab a Lexus. You're right. If you're doing the one and done on the exterior of the home, because now they're, you know, in a wheelchair or they need a ramp, what happened those 3 to 5 years prior inside the home that you weren't getting that phone call, which is the grab bars? See, no one wants to do, it's interesting. This is the unintended consequence for a business owner saying, no, I just want to whale hunt bigger ticket items. It's like, you'll get lots of big ticket items if you actually focus 3 years in advance on the small grab bar business, because now they fell in love with you. Now they're going to call you for the bigger stuff. It's like, you were there when I was just getting wobbly. I could get around, but I was starting to sense a little imbalance, right?
Who do you see as your biggest competitor in the market?
When we first started in the early 2000s, there was maybe a small group of competitors. Now there's several in the industry. They excel at certain things. Professional franchisors doing ramps and stairlifts and other things. There's a couple of those. The way I look at it, and I heard someone as kind of a mentor saying this once, is the pie is growing, and my objective is to make sure I'm getting my fair slice of the pie. If you're talking about your customer base, that's the way I look at it. It's such an opportunity for everybody. So we just want to make sure that we do our best to make sure that ideally we get a bigger slice of the pie, but we're doing okay right now. Yeah,
there's enough pie for everyone to grab a piece.
It's
not slowing anytime soon.
Oh, no. That train left the station.
It's just like, getting started.
It's happening. This is all math now. 10,000 people every day turn 65 and then 67 and then 70 and then 75. Like this does not end. It's a juggernaut of a business model. It just keeps going. And then behind it, right behind baby boomers, are Gen Xers. And then behind the Gen X, and this cycle just continues. We're an aging population in this country, and you have a very, very long runway. My question for you is, where do you go from here? Do you get involved in scooter rentals? Do you get involved in that component? Do you get involved in things to bolt onto vans and handicapped vehicles? How do you see the brand evolving in terms of product line or services?
I actually like to get you guys' perspective. Like I said in the very beginning, I don't know what I don't know sometimes. So I actually like to take advice from folks. I'll say that getting upstream, I think, is something that I want to work on. And I want to measure also our impact and the number of people we helped. One thing that I do every year is we put the names of every customer we help on our wall. I want to have a huge problem where we don't have enough space for these folks' names. So I think that's, you said, let's help folks in the earlier journey, and then hopefully it'll pay off in the longer run. So that's, I think, where I want to focus next. But I'd love to get you guys' opinion on what else, looking at our product line, looking at what we do, what would you think would be helpful?
I like mobility in terms of scooter rentals, sales. That will unfortunately take you away from work from home. And then that puts you in Class B space, where you have your little showroom of all your... I mean, just think about it. It's like, you have an assisted chair lift. So it looks like a rocking chair, except it actually helps them stand vertically.
Yeah, nano launchers is what I call those.
Nano launchers, right. These things, they're great. And it's like, oh my, I have to have that. I have such a difficult time getting up. You know, like a 75-year-old feels that they're doing a 300-pound squat from a seated position, right? I mean, it's a lot of work when you're in a seated position very low. I mean, toilet bowl heights have changed for these folks, just retrofitting toilet bowls to seat height toilets and all these. I think there's a lot of places for you to go. I do like brands that focus on, you know, like the VA, becoming an approved supplier through the VA for all these people that need mobility and ramps and all that stuff. I think that's huge. I think there are countless places that you could take your brand if you want to stay true to the work from home, because that is a beautiful value prop for the investor. It's like, start at home, low burn rate. Maybe you do that in the beginning, allow them to cut their teeth into business, and then get involved in the scooter sales, rentals, anything mobility, Striker beds.
it's easier for this type of a business to get into the scooter business than it is for the scooter franchise to get into the installation side, I think.
Yeah, you started in the hardest part.
Exactly.
Right. What Justin's saying is you started right in the most difficult part where everyone's saying, hey, maybe we get involved in ramps and it's like, it's too complicated.
Yeah.
You know, our franchisees aren't going to be able to do that. Right. They want the easy stuff. Buy a scooter, sell a scooter. Right. Repair a battery. Replace a battery. There's not really, we call it repair. You're really just replacing broken parts. You're not really repairing. It's not like fixing a transmission on a car. So yeah, I think you could jack up your AUV. Obviously, I would say you could double it if you got involved in mobility. I think that's another standalone market all by itself that could kick out $1 million a year per territory. And your territories are massive. I like it.
I have an important question. I saw a video the other day of a really old bulldog going up the stairs on a stairlift. Have you installed for dogs, or are they using the human stairlift?
We've done ramps for sure.
I believe it.
So it's a disabled bulldog that was put in the stair lift and it went up the staircase?
Going up the stairs, hanging with a little toy in its mouth, going up to bed at night.
That's awesome.
It's cool, right?
People have taken care of the people you love, and that includes pets. Oh, and yeah, we
totally.
Yeah.
Very cool, Justin.
It is. I like the model. I like how much you care about not only people, but your franchisees. I think you have to have an undying devotion to your brand and your people. You clearly do. I like it. How many locations? 50? Where are you at right now?
Over 50, right?
Yeah, over 50. Ulster 60.
Total investment, $137,000 to $235,000. Work from home, no warehouse. Are they buying it? Why so high? Are they buying inventory or is it the vehicles?
Initial franchise fee, vehicles, inventory.
Okay, so storage space.
Yeah, like a 3-car garage.
Okay.
So they can respond quickly to customer needs. They can pull something right away and get out there that same day if needed.
Okay.
Are you bumping into issues like California? You have to be a general contractor, or Oregon, you know, in order to install these things. You need to be an elevator operator.
Elevator operator.
Oregon or Washington, I think, demands that you are like a certified escalator or elevator like vendor if you're getting in this world. Some weird rules.
Yeah, it happens to some of our locations. And like, yeah, for stair lifts, you can't install them. California, other states, we have franchisees there, and they're able to either get a license or they network with somebody that has a license. So it's not insurmountable, but it is, there are some challenges there.
It is a barrier.
Is becoming a certified aging in place specialist, is this difficult or is this an involved certification?
I think the actual coursework is a couple of days, and it's awesome. It's really, you get to learn who we're serving and how to help them best. It's a great program, but it's not difficult. There's a time commitment there, but it's really eye-opening to you that we as a collective society are putting something like this together and trying to help folks age in place.
Any target markets that are still available that you guys are trying to fill?
We have a website, franchise.amramp.com, that has the list of available locations. I'm just trying to think of Southern California is still available, San Diego. So everything but Los Angeles is open. And sort of the Midwest, Ohio also, and Kansas and Iowa. So there's locations that we certainly have a need to fill.
All right. If you're on the West Coast, let us know.
Absolutely.
I'm good. Justin, thank you so much. I think this was excellent.
Thanks for hanging out with us, man.
What's up, Justin? Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. This has been awesome.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit subscribe for more great content. And if you're thinking about investing in a franchise, whether it's the one you just heard about or another opportunity, reach out to us at cliffn@franocity.com. That's cliffn@franocity.com. We look forward to working with you.